Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There was a 4.7 magnitude earthquake near Anchorage this morning. The 7:02 a.m. shaker, centered 12 miles northwest of the city, was the largest of hundreds of aftershocks registered by the Alaska Earthquake Center since Friday's 7.0 quake, and strong aftershocks rocked the city. Repairs to Alaska railroad infrastructure damaged by Friday's earthquake are progressing, and operations are returning to normal. An Alaska Railroad Post says freight service south of Anchorage has resumed and was expected to do so on the main line to Fairbanks last night. Railroad spokesman Tim Sullivan tells the Alaska Energy Desk that six areas north of Anchorage suffered varying degrees of damage, including some where ground crumbled from the edge of tracks.
Others where it just dropped out from underneath the tracks, and some amazing situations where the track, the ties, and the ground were all frozen together, but the ground underneath it dropped out, so it was just sort of hanging there and sloughing down a couple of feet.
Sullivan says the railroad's operations center in Anchorage was also damaged.
What we call our AOC is where our dispatch is located. It got shook up pretty well. We also had some water pipes that burst, had flooding on the second and first floors. It was in some pretty bad shape. We lost power.
Although all repairs won't be complete for a while, Sullivan says essential fixes are happening quickly. He says the reservation and ticketing department has reopened, and dispatch is expected to be back in its normal location by week's end. Passenger trains are scheduled to begin running out of Anchorage again Thursday. The Friday earthquake damaged the intertie, which transmits electricity from South Central Utilities to the interior. Golden Valley Electric Association is making up for the lost power by running backup generators. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
When Friday morning's earthquake hit, Golden Valley customers were using a total of 165 megawatts of electricity, and about a fifth of that was coming over the intertie. But soon after the magnitude 7 quake rumbled through the Anchorage area, the intertie went dead.
All of a sudden, we no longer had access to that 30 megawatts of power that we were purchasing out from the Anchorage area.
Golden Valley Power Systems manager Pete Sarhauer says the utility's Healy Generating Station was pumping out about 80 megawatts Friday morning, and one of its North Pole power plants was producing another 35. And it was getting about 24 megawatts from Aurora Energy's downtown power plant. So he says when the intertie went down, Golden Valley started to fill the gap with its big battery called BESS.
It immediately puts out whatever power it needs.
But BESS can only provide 27 megawatts for about 15 minutes, so Sarhauer says GVEA also temporarily fired up a 30-megawatt power plant in Fairbanks until it could bring a 60-megawatt turbine generator in North Pole online.
Then we were able to back the load down on BESS and get it turned off and recharged so that if we had another event, it would be ready.
Sarhauer says it's likely that few, if any, of its customers were even aware that the co-op was scrambling to avoid a blackout.
Unless you were really, really watching meters, you probably wouldn't have noticed it.
Sarhauer says Golden Valley officials spent part of Friday morning checking with the operators of the PetroStar refinery in Valdez to ensure GVEA could secure enough fuel for the 60-megawatt turbine. They were concerned because the Trans-Alaska pipeline had been shut down when the quake hit, so the PetroStar refinery in North Pole would be unable to produce the fuel called naphtha. Sarhauer says Golden Valley only had about 16 hours worth of the fuel on hand, and at that time it wasn't known when the pipeline would be restarted.
So we were making sure the road was intact, that they had fuel in storage available that we could have trucked up to Fairbanks.
As it turned out, Golden Valley didn't need it because the pipeline was restarted later Friday. Sarhauer says there wasn't a concern over the supply of other fuels it uses to generate electricity. He says there's plenty of diesel available in Fairbanks, and he says the supply of coal for the 7 power plants around the interior that burn that fuel was never threatened because the quake didn't damage the Alaska Railroad tracks between the coal mine in Healy and Fairbanks.
We would have been pretty good for several days.
Sarhauer says the intertie was back in service by 5 p.m. Friday and functioned until it was shut down again just after 3 p.m. Sunday. He says the cause is thought to be problems with a substation at Point McKenzie that was damaged by the earthquake. A Matanuska Electric spokesperson says the substation is located in MEA's service area but is owned by Chugach Electric.
The Point McKenzie substation had some damage to it, and they're looking at a couple of weeks you know, to do some repairs.
It took Golden Valley about 20 minutes to restore power Sunday to nearly 5,000 customers in North Pole and Delta Junction. Saarauer says freezing rain and earthquake-damaged roads kept utility crews from repairing the substation Monday and inspecting the inner tie for other damage. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
There was a fire at a University of Alaska Fairbanks power plant. UAF spokeswoman Marmion Grimes says three departments responded shortly after 9 a.m. Monday to the Atkinson building, which houses UAF's older coal-fired heat and power facility.
When they arrived, there were flames and smoke visible from the top of the coal ash handling area. A little after 11, they'd extinguished the visible fire and were working to remove building materials so that they could get to spots where the fire had burned into walls.
Grimes says one power plant employee was hurt in the fire.
A worker at the plant hit their head. That person was evaluated by on-site emergency medical personnel and released.
Grimes says the cause of the fire and extent of the damage are being investigated.
We're not anticipating any interruption of power to campus, and the fire hasn't affected the new combined heat and power plant. So we'll just need to evaluate after the firefighters are done there. We'll need to evaluate the damage and get a better sense of the cause.
The Atkinson plant has been in service for over 50 years and is scheduled to be replaced by a new coal-fired heat and power facility built next door. The new plant is in the process of being commissioned. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks City Council postponed voting on a proposed increase in the hotel and motel bed tax. Council members decided to put off final consideration of the tax hike for 6 months to give them time to discuss the increase with the hospitality industry. The ordinance would increase the current 8% tax to 9.5% next year, 10% in 2020, and 10.5% in 2021. The measure also would change some of the ways in which revenue from the tax would be distributed. Also at last night's meeting, the council advanced the 2019 city budget, a new contract with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and an ordinance broadening equal rights provisions in city code. I'm Dan Bross.